Genesis chapter 21 is where we are tonight. As you turn there with me tonight in the Old Testament, Genesis chapter 21, we're going to look at when God visits us and the birth of Isaac. Genesis chapter 21, verse 1, let's begin tonight. It says, "And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had spoken." This is a glorious verse. You know, here we have Abraham and Sarah. Abraham's 100. Sarah is 90 years of age, and God did something wonderful. He visited them. And the word visit means that God came down and entered directly into the affairs of his own people. Do you know that he does that every day for us? We don't know it. You know, you may be going through a dark time, not knowing which way to turn, not knowing what to do. The Bible says that God works in our darkness. He's always working behind the scenes. He's going to get you where you need to be. Amen? And he visited Sarah. He cares for her. He cares for us tonight. And in the birth of Isaac happened, look at that. It says, as God said, as he had spoken. Whatever God says is going to come to pass is going to come to pass. You remember when he spoke that word to Sarah over in Genesis 17, 15, God said to Abraham, he says, "As for Sarah, your wife, you'll not call her Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name." And listen to what God says, "I will bless her and give you a son by her. Then I'll bless her and she shall be called a mother of nations, and kings and peoples will come from her. And you shall call his name Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him." Only God knows the future. Only God. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. I had a gentleman call me early today and said, "This is what the Lord is showing me that's coming next year." I said, "Well, praise the Lord." I'm not going to tell you what he said, but I said, "Praise the Lord. Bring it on." And I said, "But I'll tell you this, only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow." Only God. And the only reason if we know anything is only because God is going to reveal it to us. It says there, it says, as God had said, as the Lord did for Sarah, as he had spoken. Whenever the Lord speaks, it never returns to him void, does it? It says in Isaiah 55, 10, the Lord said, "For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and does not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower, bread to the eater." Then God says, "So shall my word that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God's word is like seed from heaven. And you know what? I pray tonight, I pray in Jesus' name, by faith, each of us believe what God's word says about us. Amen? We really are the head and not the tail. We really are blessed when we rise up and blessed when we lay down. We're a blessed people. Matter of fact, every spiritual blessing belongs to the Christian. Not to the world, but to the Christian. We're sons and co-heirs of God. How thankful we should be tonight that, like the Bible says in Romans 8:1, "Therefore there is now no condemnation, no judgment to those who are in Christ Jesus." That means to be born again. That means that Jesus is truly our Lord. That means that we really are on the narrow road, the narrow way. It means we're really following Jesus in our lives. Amen? Just think that when we go stand before the Lord, and that's going to be a scary time, folks, not for our sin. Thank the Lord, he took our sin on Calvary. But we're going to stand before the Lord one day and give an account of everything that we've done, whether good or bad. We're going to give an account of it to God. We're going to give an account of our ministry, our stewardship, everything to the Lord. And then after that's over with, we're going to enter into paradise, into heaven, and we're going to be there forever and ever and ever. What a day that is going to be. We don't belong to this world. Don't get too attached to this world. Things are passing away. But the Word of God never passes away. And he who doeth the will of God never passes away. Amen? We want to just serve the Lord and love him tonight. And look what God does in verse 2 here, how he keeps his promise. And let me say something. God keeps his promise in his own way, in his own timing, and regardless of our failures and our shortcomings. Because look what it says. It says, "For Sarah conceived and bore Abram a son in his old age, at the what? Say that again. Set time. At the set time which God had spoken to him. God had a set time for Sarah. He had a set time for Isaac to be born. And God has a set time for you tonight. Listen, there's a time that God moves you to the right. He moves you to the left. He moves you ahead. He moves you back. But it's his perfect timing. And you know what? We don't want to ever, ever, ever be like Abraham and Sarah when they brought Hagar, the Egyptian handmaid, into the situation and raised up an Ishmael, raised up a work of the flesh. I'll tell you, the greatest thing that we can do as Christians is wait on God's set timing. You know, when it's God's time, nothing can stop it. Isn't that right? God has a set time. You know, some of you are going, I don't have a job. Yes, you do. It's just not manifested into the natural. But I promise you, the Alpha and the Omega, who knows the beginning and the ending, who knows everything about your life, he's not worried about it. He's not, you know, lying awake at night going, oh, I don't know what we're going to do. Jesus, you know, Bill needs a job or John needs a job. Or you understand what I'm saying? Now, that doesn't make it any easier on us at times. But you know what? There's a set time for it. And God's set time is perfect. And always try to stay in that timing. And that means that we have to wait on the Lord. We don't want to get ahead of God. It says in Psalm 102, 13 about God's set time, it says this, you will arise, have mercy on Zion, for the time to favor her, yes, the set time has come. God has a set time for everything. Not only the birth of Isaac, but you know what? There's a set time. God knows it. It's marked on his calendar. He knows the exact second that the church is going to be removed from this planet, what we call the rapture. See, he really knows the time. It's not going to escape him. And we, you know, we sometimes act like it's not going to happen. But it is going to happen. It's going to happen in a twinkling of an eye. Twinkle your eyes real quick. It's already happened. Do you see what I'm saying? That quick. You're going to, you know what? People are going to be driving their cars. It's going to be business as usual. And all of a sudden, we're going to be caught up in the air and forever we're going to be with him. That is really going to happen, and that is the next great event that will take place on this planet. The next great event will be the removal of the church. I do not know the day, the hour. I don't even know when. Now, I don't ever worry about it. I just know it's going to happen because the Bible doesn't lie. But what we must do is gird up our loins, keep our lamps burning, keep looking and following the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, let's wait on God's set time, because God, in that set time, just like the birth of Isaac, he is birthing what you need in your circumstance. It's already there. He knows exactly when you need to give birth to that. So just wait on the Lord. Isn't that the hardest part of being a Christian? Waiting on God, waiting on God's timing. And you know, we always try to get ahead of the Lord. I'm guilty of that. All of us were like that. But the Bible says in Psalm 27:14, it says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Concerning the birth of Isaac, it says in Hebrews 11:11, it says, by faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him, meaning God, faithful, who had promised. How long did Abraham and Sarah wait on the set timing of God for the birth of Isaac? 25 years. 25 years. Have you ever waited 25 years on a promise from God? Huh? We can't wait 25 minutes. We start falling apart. Verse 3. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him. He called his name, he laughs, or laughter, or Isaac. You know, God named Isaac all the way back in chapter 17. Remember that whenever Sarah was there at the tent and she was eavesdropping on the Lord, and the Lord told Abraham, when when she would give birth, remember it says she laughed within herself. So Abraham is laughing, Sarah is laughing, and you know what? God has the last laugh, amen? And Isaac came into the world. And you know what? Whenever God's set time comes into your life and the promise of God, the prayer that you've been praying, or the promise manifesting your life, don't you kind of start laughing too? Amen. It is. It's a joyous time. And that's what happened here in the birth. Just think, the redemption of mankind, the redemption of the world rested with a little baby called laughter. Does God have a sense of humor or what? Amen. I tell you, God is so good. And then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was just 8 days old, as God commanded him. So the sign of the covenant, that seal, that visible sign, the removing of the flesh, and symbolic, of course, of walking in the Spirit and separation from this world. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So Isaac, that son of promise, born by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Isaac's birth was a supernatural birth. Amen? But you know what? Our birth is a supernatural birth. Not our natural birth, but when we're born from above. You know, I'll tell you something. There is nothing greater than knowing that you're a new creation. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if anyone, any nationality, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, new creation, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. If anyone be in Christ, what does it mean to be in Christ? 2 Corinthians 5:17 ought to be embedded in your heart, Christian. Listen, to be in Christ means to have all that is Christ. Amen? In other words, all that he is, that is our position. Let me ask you a question. Everything that Jesus did he please the Father? Okay, well, you're in Christ now. So you've pleased the Father. Jesus overcame the world, amen? You've overcome the world because you're in Christ. Jesus died, Jesus rose. Whenever that happened, when he died, we died. When he rose, we rose. When he ascended, we ascended with him. He took us right into the Holy of Holies. We're seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus right now, according to Ephesians. That is your position, my position tonight. I'm a new creation. I thank God for that. Old things have passed away. That means severed. They've been broken off. We're not the same people anymore. Sin is no longer my master. The devil is no longer in control of my life. We've been translated from the kingdom or the power of darkness into the Son of His love, which is Christ. We're born again tonight. And I thank God. It says, behold, all things become new. You still drive the same old car. You still married to the same person. You still have those wonderful children and that great employer. Amen? But all things become new in your life. You know why? Because you're sons and daughters of God. See, we're sons of promise too, just like Isaac, in a sense. Because see, we're supernaturally born again. Not by works, simply by grace, simply by believing in Christ. Listen, to be able to call God our Father, Abba, Daddy, Papa, is something, isn't it? Think about that for a moment. In Romans, it talks about where, you know, we did not receive the Spirit, the bondage again to fear, but we receive the Spirit by adoption, where we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are sons or children of God, children of the Lord. We belong to Him. I'm so glad that we can go to Him tonight for anything. I don't know what next year is going to bring us. Boy, I'm looking forward to it if God tarries. I believe next year, and I think I say this every year, but I still believe it. I think next year is going to be the greatest year for Calvary ever. Amen? I believe it's going to be the greatest year for you ever. Oh, I don't mean the absence of trials. I don't mean the absence of troubles. I'm not talking about, you know, everything's going to be perfect in your life. No, but the perfect one is going to be with us. Verse 6, and Sarah said, God has made me laugh. Yes, yes, he did. And all who hear will laugh with me. And she also said, who would have said to Abraham Abraham's 100, and to Sarah, she's 90, oh, I would nurse children, for I have borne him a son in his old age. So the child grew and was weaned, and Abraham made a great feast on the same day that Isaac was weaned. That must have been a party, you know it? Weaning Isaac, in other words, Isaac, his milk days were over in a way. In other words, he was going to start eating meat for the first time. Boy, that's a powerful word. You know something? That's what God does to us. Whenever we first come to the Lord, man, it seems like God answers every prayer. Have you ever noticed that? Just those little, it doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden we get a little older in the Lord and he weans us. We have to start studying our Bible. Huh? Yes. And in other words, he's saying, no. It's time to get off the bottle. You know what I'm saying? There's something wrong when you see a 35-year-old with a bottle, okay? I mean, there's just a problem there. And so God weans us because all Christians need to grow up and become mature. It says in 1 Timothy 2:2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. In other words, the sincere, the pure milk, nothing watered down, the gospel, the word of God, nothing added, nothing removed, the whole counsel of God. You know what? We'll never, ever grow up if we don't get off the milk. You just stay a baby for the rest of your life. You like little rattles, you know, and entertainment and baby talk from the pulpit. You know what I'm saying, don't you? No, listen. No. We don't want to stay in pre-K all of our life. We don't stay in the nursery. We don't want somebody burping us. You know what I'm saying? We want to get off the bottle. That's why it says in 2 Peter 3:18, it says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Hebrews 5:12 says, for this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you again the first principles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. In other words, they were back on the bottle again. For everyone, no exceptions, for everyone who uses only milk, in other words, an exclusive milk diet, is unskilled or inexperienced in the word of righteousness. Why? For he is a baby. He is immature. See, to be on milk, Christian, listen now, it means you're not feeding yourself. It means you're being fed, right? That's what it means. In other words, you know, it's like the pastor is a spiritual milk bottle or something. No. Listen, God wants you to grow up. He wants me to grow up. He's going to make you grow up whether you like it or not. He's going to wean us from the things that we don't need to be a part of, and he's going to grow us up into Christ's likeness. So look what Sarah saw there in verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing or mocking, a repetitive mocking. So the first baby that God named was Ishmael, remember? And the second baby was Isaac. Two boys, two different births, one of the flesh, one of the spirit. Ishmael was about 17 years old. And here in this verse that we're looking at tonight, he was brought up in a godly home. He obviously saw God working mightily there. And he was circumcised, remember? I think he was 13 years old when he was circumcised. And yet now we start seeing his true character because, see, Ishmael was of the flesh. He's not of the spirit. He's like our old man, if you will. And so here he is mocking Isaac. And when he started mocking Isaac, you know what he was really doing? He was mocking Christ in a sense because he resented the plan of God. He didn't want any part of the plan of God. And so he starts mocking everyone. And so the birth of Isaac really revealed his true character. He's a child of the flesh and he was doing what comes naturally to the flesh. That's why it says in Galatians 4:29, it says, but he who is born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the spirit. Talking about Ishmael and Isaac. Even so, it is now. Listen, Ishmael and an Isaac cannot live side by side. It's impossible. Because Ishmael, the work of the flesh, is always going to persecute those who are born of the spirit. There's just no way around. And you can't mix flesh and spirit. So verse 10 says, therefore she said to Abraham, cast out this bondwoman. In other words, Hagar, get rid of her. And her son, meaning Ishmael. For the son of this bondwoman, or this slave here, shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac. You know, I encourage you to read all of Galatians chapter 4. because they talk about Isaac, they talk about Ishmael, and they talk about how law and grace can't live in the same house. It says in Galatians 4:22, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by the bondwoman, which is Hagar, of course, and the other by the free woman, which is Sarah. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh," in other words, by works. "And he of the free woman through the promise," remember the supernatural birth of Isaac, "which things are symbolic. For these," meaning these two women, "represent the two covenants." And it says, "And the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is from Hagar." Now, Hagar and Ishmael represent what? The law. Ishmael and works. Sarah and Isaac, a covenant of grace and of course, of faith here. It says in Galatians 4:30, "Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say?" It says, "Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman." Whenever a person is just born of the flesh, a natural birth, we don't want to admit it, but the truth is we're born a slave, aren't we? We're a slave of our own person, our old Adamic nature. Sin, it just reigns in our life. Like you've heard me say, and you know so well, you don't have to teach a baby or a little one or anyone to be disobedient. You have to teach a child to be obedient. Why? Because sin reigns in our life. See, when you're born, not born again, you're a slave. I don't want to be a slave. Amen? I want to be a slave of righteousness. I want to be a slave to the Lord. I want to do His bidding. How wonderful. Whenever you're His slave, He sets you free. But the devil, he comes in. Boy, if you don't know the Lord, and he makes you worse. I tell you, it's just horrible what he does. So Sarah now is demanding, you know what? I want him removed, and God is going to agree with her. Look at verse 11 for a moment. And it says, "And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son." You know, Abraham, he loved Ishmael, didn't he? And that word is a good word to do a study on. That word right there was as displeasing. That word literally means grievous or to be grieved. It's in the Hebrew, it's a picture of violent shaking. In other words, have you ever, like in the summertime or the spring, you know, you raise the window in your house and the curtains are there, and all of a sudden the wind comes through and the curtain starts whipping and so forth? That curtain's blowing in the wind, if you will. That's when she said that to Abraham, boy, it killed him. I mean, it broke his heart. And that's the picture that's here. And look what God did. "But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice, for in Isaac your seed shall be called." So only through Isaac and no one else will the Messiah come, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But God's not going to forget Ishmael. Look what it says. He says, "Yet I will make a nation of the son of the bondwoman." Why? Look at this very carefully. "Because he is your seed, Abraham." Man, that is unbelievable. You know, everything God did for Hagar and Ishmael was because of Abraham. It was because of Abraham. He was a friend of God. And you know, look tonight. You know Ishmael. Look what came from Ishmael. The Arabs. Think about that. Look at what's happening in the Arab world right now. It is unbelievable. And so in verse 14, "So Abraham rose early in the morning, took bread, a skin of water, and putting it on her shoulder, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent her away." Boy, that sounds like a cheap shot to me. I'm sorry, you know. But gosh, he says, "Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba, and the water in the skin was used up, and she placed the boy," and remember, that's a 17-year-old boy, "under one of the shrubs. And then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, and she said to herself, 'Let me not see the death of the boy.' So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept." You know, you remember when Hagar left, I believe it's over in Genesis 16, I believe it is, when she ran away from Sarah because Sarah was kind of harsh on her. And she ran away, and when she ran away, she was pregnant with Ishmael. And God, a voice from heaven, spoke to her to go back to Sarah and submit to her, and then made a promise to her about the child that she was carrying. So obviously she's totally forgotten about God's promise that occurred all the way back in Genesis 16. And because God had a set time for her and for Ishmael as well. And look what it says in verse 17. And God heard the voice of the lad. And the angel of the Lord called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad and where he is. Arise and lift up the lad and hold him with your hand." And here comes the promise again. "For I will make him a great nation." In other words, just like I promised you 17 years ago, I'm going to do again. And then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave the lad a drink. So God was with the lad, and he grew and dwelt in the wilderness and became a hunter or an archer. And he dwelt in the wilderness of Paran, and his mother took a wife for him from the land of Egypt. In other words, from her own people. It says in verse 17, God heard. He heard the lad. Didn't hear her, heard Ishmael. I don't know, maybe Ishmael was praying, but he heard him. You know, can I say something to you tonight? That God hears you. Don't ever think that God doesn't hear. I mean, even when you feel that he's not listening, may I tell you that he is. Those times on the bed late at night when you wake up and your wife or your husband is asleep and the children are asleep maybe in the next room and your mind is finally clear from all the junk of the day and you start praying, crying out to the Lord. I've been doing a lot of that lately, crying out to the Lord about many things. May I tell you that he hears everything that you say? And not only does he hear, it says God heard. And it says, and God called to Hagar out of heaven. You know what that means? It means God's right there. He hears, he sees, he knows, he cares. He's so close that you can just think it. He knows your thought even before you think it. Amen? He knows everything. He is going to get you through. If I've learned anything in my life, God is going to see me through. He's going to see you through. You're going to make it. That's not a pep talk. That's the word of God. Amen? See, you're going to make it. Being confident of this, of what God began in you, he is going to complete. He will complete everything. You know what? When a person goes home to be with the Lord, as long as it's not like I'm out a rebellious person, you know, they get in trouble and they die. I'm talking about just simply walking with the Lord. When you leave this planet, a lot of times it was so unexpected. You know, I believe that when it's time to go and when God calls us home, that means that we didn't have another word to say about anything. It means that everything that we intended to say, God said, nope, that was it. You didn't have anything else to say. You didn't have one more word to say to anyone. You're through here. This was your journey. You sojourned on this planet and it was all over with. And I do know that sometimes death is untimely and it just seems to snatch us out, but I believe that God's in control. And I believe that he knows when to take us home and when he doesn't need to take us home. He knows everything about us. I tell you, the greatest thing we can do is walk uprightly. I pray that you have a prayer time every morning. I pray that you open your Bibles every morning. I pray that you seek the Lord. Seek him while he can be found. He wants to be found by you. He wants to speak to you. And I believe that next year that we need to, if the Lord tarries, if there's ever been a year to really press in and hear God in a greater way, it's going to be then. See, time is running out. We're not gaining more time. Time is running out. In other words, we're living in the last days in history. One day is going to come to an end as we know it. I don't know if it's going to be in our lifetime. I think that it will be. I don't know. But I just know that it is coming to an end. Live your life. Live your life. And let me say something else while I'm meddling in your life right now. Some of you need to make changes. You need to make health changes. Do it. Be disciplined. Take care of the temple of God. Amen? If you need to make health changes, then do it. Some of you might need to start, maybe your doctor or whatever, or you know you need to start walking every day. Well, just do it. This is the holidays, Bill. Leave me alone. You know, we've got all these desserts coming my way this month. Shut up. Well, I'm not one to make New Year's resolutions because they only last a few days. I'm not going to live by any promises I'm going to make to God, because we don't live by promises we make to God. We live by His promises. Amen. Take care of yourself. Take care of yourself spiritually. Take care of yourself physically. Take care of yourself mentally. Take care of the whole person. Amen. And live your life. Live your life to the fullest while you can. Don't be ripped off for 1 second. God has so many set times in your life, set times for specific events that need to take place. Don't miss out on that. Don't miss out on the journey. Because I tell you, when you follow the Lord, it is indeed an adventure. It's an adventure. Now, with all that being said, what verse am I supposed to be on now? I think I've just forgot. 22. Thank you. Okay, 22. See what happens when you get away from where you're supposed to be? And it came to pass at that time Abimelech from over in chapter 20, the king there, and Phicol, his commander of his army, well, they spoke to Abraham saying, you know what? God is with you in all that you do. And I tell you, praise the Lord for that. And that's what we want as well. So remember, you remember, he wanted to marry Abimelech. He brought Sarah into his harem. In other words, he was going to marry her, you know. And a 90-year-old woman, think of that. And that's why I said, man, she must have been a knockout. And, you know, she was. There's no doubt about it. And so God said, you know, you're just as good as a dead man, because you touch her, you're dead. And so what did the Lord do? He shut up all the wombs, remember, there in Abimelech's household. So here they come, and he's saying, you know what? God is with you, Abraham. I can tell you that right now. And you know what? I think he heard that Isaac was born, and I think he wanted to come and see the miracle child for himself. That's what he's doing. Now, therefore, look what he says. I want you to swear to me by God that you will not deal falsely with me, with my offspring, or with my posterity, but that according to the kindness that I have done to you, you will do to me and to the land which you have dwelt. And Abraham said, I'll swear. But then he wanted to make sure he cleared up something first. I'll swear. Then Abraham rebuked Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had seized. And Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. You did not tell me, nor had I heard of it until today. So Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech. And look what they did. And the two of them made covenant. Remember, the covenant there had to come by the blood. You know how the cutting of the covenant, they would get an animal and they would split that animal in half, and both of them would walk through the midst of that animal where the blood was, and they would make a covenant with one another. And if they did not keep the agreement, then the animal represented what would happen to them. You're going to die if you don't do that. So they made a covenant there together. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. Then Abimelech asked Abraham, what is the meaning of these 7 ewe lambs which you have set by themselves? And he said, you'll take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand. And he tells us why now. That they may be my witness that I have dug this well. You know, water was so important there, that area that they were in, with all the herds and the flocks and all the stuff that they had. So this covenant between Abimelech and Abraham involved 3 things. Number 1, it involved a blood sacrifice. So does our covenant. Our Lord went to the cross for us, didn't he? He shed his blood for us. The second thing here in these verses that we just read, they had to have a witness. Well, we have a witness where his spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're sons of God, that we're children of God. So we have the blood, the cross. We have the witness, which is the Holy Spirit. And then in verses 31 and 32, we have the promise. And with meaning, we have also the promises of God. Look at verse 31. And therefore he called the place Beersheba. That word Beersheba means the well of the oath. Because the two of them, what did they do? They swore. They made promises. They swore an oath there. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. And Abimelech rose with Phicol, the commander of his army, and they returned to the land of the Philistines. So the covenant gave Abraham a well. You know, just a well of water. Aren't you glad that we have an everlasting spring that's in us tonight, the Holy Spirit of God who's present with us. And he said, and then Abraham planted a tamarisk tree, in other words, an evergreen there in Beersheba, and they're called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God, the everlasting God. Now, there's been a progression there with Abraham. Remember, he knew God, the Most High God, and then the next thing we remember, he was introduced to, God says, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the God that's more than enough. I'm the self-existent one. I like to always say El Shaddai means that God says, if I don't have it, I'll make it for you. And so now he comes in a new name, if you will. In other words, the everlasting God. Listen, wells will finally dry up. Trees are going to finally die. But I'll tell you something, we have an everlasting God who will always be with us. Amen? Well, he's here tonight. Let's really celebrate this season. Let there be a peace in your house. I mean a supernatural peace. Just rejoice in the Lord. I was meddling again. And Abraham stayed in the land of the Philistines many days. What was he waiting on? He was waiting on the next set time from God. You know how long that he waited? Probably about 15 years. That's a long time to wait on the Lord, isn't it? The reason I say that is because God had a set time coming for Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. We'll pick that up next week. And you talk about a test. Here, this young man, Isaac, is now grown up. And we'll look at just 22 for a minute with me. Verse 1, it says, it came to pass after these things, after 16 long years, okay, that God tested Abraham and said to Abraham, and he said, here I am. And God said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah. Offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. You know, don't you think that Abraham, I mean, listen, it tore him to pieces to let Ishmael go. But he was obedient to his wife, and God said, do what she said. And now, all of a sudden, he's watched Isaac grow up, and he loves him with all of his heart. He's the son of promise. And now God's going to say, I want you to take him up there, and I want you to sacrifice him, the son that you love. Boy, I'll tell you, Genesis 22 is a powerful chapter. We'll pick that up next week. Now, let's enter into a rest, just a rest with the peace of God operating in our homes. Don't let anything, if you're going to have trouble in your workplace, just walk in love, walk in peace. Let's close out this year just with our mind and our heart full of the presence of the Lord. Amen.